Who's excited about the new year?
Yes.
I'm tremendously excited about the new year. God's been speaking some very challenging stuff to me recently. And I believe we are going to be entering a decade of harvest where we have never seen as much harvest that we're going to see in the next 10 years or so. I really believe it's God's time for harvest. And I believe that will usher in a time of revival, a time of intimacy with Him. But if we're going to see that happen, God has to do some changing in us first. We're not ready for revival just yet. The church is not ready to receive those He's going to be adding to us. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to change us so that we're ready for what is to come. And during this last year, we've seen some of that happen. We've got closer to God in the teaching we've had, in the experience we've had, in the prayers we've had. There's been a new intimacy and expectancy of what God can do. And that's been great. I shared recently that I believe, both as a church and individually, we are at a watershed moment. That there's a new direction coming. And I also shared that we're standing in the doorway of a new threshold. And we've got to step through that doorway, not knowing what is before us, but with faith and expectancy and excitement in our hearts. Amen? And all that sounds great, but there's going to be a cost involved for us. And what I want to speak on today is a word that I just felt God give me following those words on watershed and threshold. I believe God is saying to us, this is going to be a time when He is coming to us as fire. As fire. And we've got to be ready for that. And I believe it will begin to happen as we go into the new year. We have seen seasons of amazing grace and God's favor. He's released transformation, restoration, and revival in many parts of the world. And that's great, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? Amen. We ain't seen nothing yet. That's all been preparation. Now God is getting to the nitty-gritty of changing His church and changing us so that we have a different perspective, a different expectation, with faith rising in our hearts to see the kingdom come. And I believe that's going to be with fire. It's time to up a gear. We're going to see more power, more fruitfulness, and more harvest. I believe God is changing the church from being a cruise liner into a battleship.
Amen.
We've been floating along, leisurely enjoying the goodness of God for too long. We've got to realize there's a kingdom for us to take. And that's going to be different as we see it happen. We're going to be facing challenges in our nation that we've never faced before. We need to pray for revival, to see the glory of God. God is saying, as you earnestly desire me and my glory in your midst, what are you actually praying for? When we pray for revival, when we pray to see God's glory, what we're actually saying is, Lord, send your fire. But do we realize what that means? Do we realize what that really means? Sometimes we enjoy grace and mercy. God is now coming with fire and with restored holiness. We're going to be seeing Jesus in a way we've never seen him before. The Apostle John walked with Jesus. He knew what Jesus looked like. But in Revelation 1, 14 to 16, the Apostle John was stunned when he encountered a Jesus he had never appreciated before. And the description we read is, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, his face like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. We've yet to see Jesus coming for his church in holiness, in the power of his might. And we're going to get a shock, some of us, when we see the real Jesus. See, God is holy, and his holiness is part of his kingdom. He loves you and sees you as priceless treasure, more precious than gold, silver, and precious stones. And that is why, exactly why, he cannot allow you or me or us to stay as we are. There has to be a radical shift for revival and harvest and kingdom to come. You ready for that? You ready for that? Turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you too much to leave you as you are. It's time for change. It's time to rise up into a new gear, into a new decade for harvest. God is love, but he's also holy. And part of his love for us is to come to us with fire. This is going to be a time when he's going to purify his church with power, with fire. But you can't separate his fire from his love. That's the reason for the fire. He loves you. He wants his kingdom to come through you. He wants you set free from all the rubbish that we've seen in the past. Hebrews 12, 29, our God is a consuming fire. His fire will come, so all the rubbish, the pride, the wrong concepts, the fruitless activity we get up to in church, the sinful attitudes that we have accumulated over the years can be taken away. You're beginning to get it? It's going to be an exciting new year. But it's going to cost. Fire will bring his presence, his glory, his love in a greater measure to the church. But watch out, those of us who are in leadership. Because when the fire comes, he comes to lead us first. And you, if you've got aspirations of leadership, or you are in leadership, the fire will visit you before anybody else. That's why I've been a few weeks now just preparing, getting myself ready. Malachi 3, verses 2 and 3. You listen to this. But who will be able to endure when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away dross. He will purify Levites, the leaders of the day, refreshing them like gold and silver, so that they once again can offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. He's already coming to leadership across the world. We've seen people fall from grace. You can't get away with things like you could before, especially if you're leaders, because he wants us to come again and be able to be acceptable in our service to him. So if all this is a little bit scary, I just want to encourage you, we need to redefine our picture of God's holiness. See, when we think of God's holiness and fire, we tend to draw back, because we feel guilty, we feel apprehension, we see it as restrictive, even legalistic, bringing false sobriety. That's the picture we've had of a holy God. Instead of rushing to him as a loving father, his holiness kind of drives us away. And we've had a wrong concept of his holiness. The Pentecostals were the worst at this. You know, women were not allowed to wear makeup or bright clothes. They had to wear head covering. You couldn't go to the cinema. You couldn't watch the telly. Because they thought, oh, that's holy. You know? No, that's not God. That's legalism. And some churches are still operating in that false picture of God's holiness. Yes, we need to fear the Lord. Yes, we need to honor him. But he's our dad. He loves us. And whatever he does to bring you closer to him, not drive you away. In fact, real holiness will bring us into freedom. Amen? That's real holiness when it brings you into freedom. Because all the rubbish is got rid of. All the wrong concepts go. All the pride is destroyed so that you can get closer and closer and closer to his presence and enjoy him. So I'm not afraid to say, send the fire. Because that's what we need. Right now. All the baggage that restricts our calling and ministry and causes us to keep a distance from a holy God will be gone. Our intimacy with our Father will be restored. We will be free to express what God has made you to be. Hallelujah. That's true freedom. To be who he's made you to be. To move in his calling. Without fear. Without holding back. Because out of his love, he won't allow you to collect any more baggage once you've got rid of the old stuff. Trouble is, some of us haven't got rid of the old stuff. And we need to do that. You know, real holiness, the fire of God, will bring a baptism of joy, righteousness, peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom's all about. Joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's something to be excited about. When I can come to God without knowing, without any sin upon me, any restrictions, man, that's joy. So we need to change our concept. As we are refined, we will find a new place of intimacy with the Father in the secret place. We will minister out of pure motives, causing a release of fruitfulness and harvest. See, when God has a church that is free from all that baggage and rubbish and is fired up by the fire of God and his holiness, and his presence can now come upon us. See, he cannot get near sin, but he can get near you, nearer and nearer, as you are free from sin. And then the harvest will come. His presence will come. People will be running into churches when they see church as God intended. A people full of his presence, his joy, his love, his peace, answers to their need. Get ready for it. It's coming. It's coming. We will minister out of pure motives. Because his fire scorches that which is unholy, the fire of his holiness consumes sin and self, but it offers something beyond measure in its place. As we allow the fire to touch our hearts, we will find intimacy with the beloved. What a reward. So let go of the rubbish. Embrace the fire. Let it touch you. Let it change you. And this is where, of course, we always have a choice. Yes, the fire of God will come. But in his heart, he'd rather we invite his fire to come. That's what he's waiting for. And I believe that as we go into this new decade, we need to consecrate ourselves again and just embrace all that he's going to do. I believe he's giving us an invitation right at the start of this decade to welcome his fire, without fear, without misunderstanding, without legalism, but with joy and with expectancy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, 21 says, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. You can stay as wood and straw and be useful to him in the mundane things of life. Or you can purify yourself so that he sees you as gold and silver, and then he will have special purposes for you. A special place of fruitfulness. That will be your portion. The opportunity to make an offering of all to him, to present yourself to his fire, yields unlimited possibilities. The baptism of fire will make miracles, signs, and wonders commonplace. The fire that cleanses the impurities now will cause you to glow with a heavenly brightness when they go from you. The same fire that removes what has bound you now burns in you. Amen? It's positive. It's not negative. In that place of raw honesty, where nothing is hidden, you yield the soul attitudes that have dampened your joy, and you yield the pain and the history of that which has gone before to him. In his love, he pulls you into his fire, and his purging flame burns up what is not of him. That's where I believe we are as a church. It's a very important threshold. because it will usher in all that we've been praying for. This is the final step, if you like, for revival to come, when his church is purified by fire with pure motives. And so this is a season of dedication and consecration of your heart and mind, your body to him, to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that adjustment to you. And I believe as we enter into this new year, this coming week, it's time to reflect. There will be messages from Dave and me in the new year about goals and what we're aiming for. But none of it will come to pass unless we get past this. Amen. It's going to cost you who you've been as you allow him to purge out and to fill you with his presence and his love and his joy. And we'll see a new church begin to arise. I hope I haven't scared you off to death this morning. That wasn't the purpose of it, because I see fire as positive. As I said, we need to redefine what holiness is. I don't want you to become legalistic so that you think, oh, I can't laugh in church. That's not holy. It's not what I'm saying. Amen? He wants you to be real in the Holy Spirit, because he's made you as his children. Hallelujah. His kingdom is in you. His Holy Spirit is with you. Turn with me to Psalm 51. I just want to use this in closing. I'm not going to speak anymore. I think the message has been strong enough for you to go away and think about. But I love this prayer of David's. And I'd like us to stand, and I'd like us to pray this prayer in our hearts. Verse 10 of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Just let go of all that stuff you know that shouldn't be there. Right at the start of this new decade, just say, enough is enough. Cleanse my heart. Set me free from all that binds, from all that hurts, from all that gets in the way of me truly being able to serve you. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh, even this morning. Lord, come with fire, even this morning. Come and cleanse, Lord. Come with your fire. Baptize us afresh, Lord, with the fire of God, where we don't want to sin, where we want only to please you. And Lord, that will bring us such joy, such fulfillment, such fruitfulness. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Lord, just embrace us this morning with your arms of love. Embrace those who are struggling. Embrace those who can't quite get hold of this. Embrace them, Lord. Warm their hearts and draw them to yourself. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Father, that's the kingdom purpose we have as your church. To see people set free into the truth of your love and your kingdom. And Lord, we know that you've got to change us and change the church. Please do it, Lord, that we might rescue this damaged world and quicken your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.